This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio, we're live backstage at Stand and Call in Katie Tunstall. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
You're looking incredible. Your makeup's outrageous. Is this, no, when I say outrageous, that's like outrageously good. You know, like sick.
Thank you.
The term sick.
I was like, no, wait, I could go more outrageous than this.
Yeah, hold on.
I could go crazier.
Tell me, is this a festival look or do you vibe this all year round?
Well, this is a festival look and it's started to feel very normal. And I now sort of feel slightly underdressed without the... I have orange and green as well. It was after a trip to Japan. That's what happens when you go to Japan and you're like, oh, normal.
Yeah, it's just so vibey over there.
But I realise that when you put this on, you don't need to worry about anything else because it's just completely distracts. So you don't even need to get dressed up or anything. So I am considering keeping this as a thing.
Just go out naked. Just wear the...
Naked. And I'll be like, I'll be wearing no clothes and we go, look at her eyeshadow.
Yeah. She was naked, was she? What? I didn't see that. So is this the kind of vibe you do to Sainsbury's? You just go to Sainsbury's?
Absolutely.
Because I think I want to start doing
that. It sort of reminds... When I did Jules Holland, when I first started, the first famous person I ever met was Robert Smith. And I had this from The Cure, and I had this amazing chat with him, and he was such a lovely person to meet. And he had all his, you know, goth makeup and hair. And he said that he was going back to his parents' house that weekend. And I said to him, what do they think about that? And he was like, I don't put this on when I go home. I was like, oh yeah. No, you don't. No, sorry.
I kind of wish he did, though.
I know, all the time.
Do you know what I mean?
Brilliant trick for not getting recognised, by the way. Would you know what Robert Smith looked like without the hair and the lipstick?
No, but there's a lot of artists like that, don't they? That they sort of like shroud.
The mask.
Since you started,
you will,
actually.
Once I take this eyeshadow off, you won't know who I am. I'll be unrecognisable.
So if I put it on, do you think I could maybe pass myself off as you?
Absolutely. If you should try it.
If you're leaving off your set, I'm just going to come in here and be like, yeah, I'm Katie Tunstall. What are you talking
about?
You're
like, woohoo.
If I tried to sing, though, it would be horrible. Now, we're playing a game today.
Love a game.
This is my FUBAR fanny pack.
I love the fanny pack on the boobs.
It's sort of my titty FUBAR fanny pack.
It's like a titty bag. It's lovely.
Actually, that's what we should call it, the titty bag.
Titty bag. Or a bat bag.
Katie, you should have been here 3 days ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You could have given us all these fantastic ideas and the makeup, and we would have had a lot better time. I'd like to go inside. There's some weird questions in here for you.
Do I pick?
I apologise in advance because they are, you know, they may have been written when we were drunk.
Would you rather always be playing a gig or never play a gig again?
Oh, that's such a
good one.
That
is a really evil question.
Yeah, because it always...
I'd rather never play a gig again.
I think I agree, because I think always playing a gig could go crazy.
No, there's too many things I want to do. I want to like go to Easter Island and the Arctic and the Antarctic, and I wouldn't be
any
able
other
to do
Arctics.
That. Or I could play gigs all those places.
Oh. Yeah, but
I'll always play a gig.
Yeah.
I'll always play a gig.
Okay, one more.
I love questions like this.
Katie Tunstall.
Have
backstage.
You got an alter ego? I do. Let me think about this, though. Oh, yes, I do. It's on Instagram. Oh. And I have got an
alter... Has it got its own Instagram account?
I've got my own... It's got... My alter ego has its own Instagram account, and I'm called Cockney Leslie, and it's totally reliant on a particular Snapchat filter. And so, basically, when that Snapchat filter comes up, Cockney Leslie comes alive. She travels in between.
So, and who is she?
She's filthy. She's like your sort of terrible best mate.
I think that sounds like the best.
And then so I basically get fans to send Cockney Leslie life questions, and she gives out advice. It's all on Instagram. And so someone will say, like, my mate's got really bad BO, I don't know how to tell her, what should I say? And the filter changes my voice, so I'm lower, but I basically say, tell her she fucking stinks, mate. It's a problem.
I also love your London accent.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Cockney Leslie talks like that. But it gets much lower and it's much better. And her face is weird and it's great.
I really want to meet Cockney Leslie.
It's all getting quite deep. She used to be a truck driver.
God, she's got a backstory
and everything.
Sick.
It's all there.
Man.
Online.
I'm kind of lost in Cockney Leslie now. Right, let's find another one.
Okay. Who is your musical guilty pleasure? I don't believe in guilty pleasures.
There you are.
It's not fair. Because how can you have... Pleasure is pleasure.
Pleasure is pleasure.
Fuck guilt. But if I was going to say guilty pleasure, I would have to say, if I was going to feel guilty, it would probably be The Voice by John Farnham.
Really?
Do you know that song?
It's not guilty though, is it?
And the boy's going to understand it. Well, it's quite guilty. It's got bagpipes on it.
I mean, who wouldn't want a bagpipe in their song? Most people, I think. Most
any
people.
Other guilty play? Is there anything I'm guilty about? I mean,
that's good though. I think
John Farnham, the voice, is
the guiltiest.
Love Amadeus by Falco, but again, don't feel guilty Amadeus. About it.
I think that's really perfect.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a pleasure to chat to you.
Lovely to chat to you too. Thank you for all the compliments.
We're excited.
Great.
To
you
see
can
your
always
set
come
later.
And see me before my gig.
Please. And can I meet Cockney Leslie next time?
Definitely. As yes. long as Snapchat is working, then yes.
I can't wait. Well, thank you so much for coming on Fubar Radio. Katie, good luck with your
pleasure.
Gig later.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye, Fubar. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Knows it better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let her do all the talking. Ooh, ooh. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree. Ooh, ooh. I felt a little fear upon my back. I said, don't look back, just keep on walking. Ooh, ooh. But the big black car said, look this way. He said, hey, that day, will you marry me? Ooh, ooh. But I said, no, 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 no. I said, no, no, you're not the one for me. No, 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 no. I said, no, no, you're not the one for me. Ooh. My heart hit a problem in the early hours, so I stopped it dead for a beat or two. Ooh, ooh. But I cut some cord and I shouldn't have done it, and it won't forgive me after all these years. Ooh, ooh. So I sent it to a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree. Ooh, ooh. I won't come back cause it's all so happy, and now I got a hole for the world to see. Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. And it said no, 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 no. Said no, no, you're not the one for me. No, 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 no. Said no, no, you're not the one for me. Ooh.
Now, I am delighted to be in the dressing room of an old colleague of mine, Mr. Doc Brown.
Jolo, how's it going?
Jolo, yeah, we were just talking about this. My nickname at football was Jolo, so I've got a big fat bum. But, yeah, I'm enjoying this little summery Hawaiian number you've got.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, try and coax the sunshine out somehow.
You have picked the best day, though, because yesterday it rained for 12 hours.
Damn.
So, but it's all right. We all needed a wash.
It's all right.
So, one of the busiest men in the world, what have you been up to, like, just recently? Where are you right now? What you've been up to?
Oh, man, you know what? I haven't actually been very busy. My life's calmed right down, and I've just been mainly, like, supporting Gervais on his world tour.
Amazing.
But it's only, like, a couple gigs every couple of weeks, because, you know, Ricky doesn't like to do too much more work than he wants. He likes things real chilled, so it's like a nice easy job, and the rest of the time I've just been like writing and trying to work out what I'm gonna do next.
Yeah, well, and he's such a great person to have behind you, because like he's just such a generous guy with like he really puts people over.
Yeah, he really is. I guess because of all the sort of assholes that he plays or has created
in
his comedy, it blurs the lines for a lot of people, and they think, oh, is he like a real nightmare to work for? And it's like, no, there are dudes who you've never heard of who are a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, of course.
And he's like one of the most recognizable faces in the world, and he's like, He's just a great boss. Because he likes things to be easy. He likes to finish work early. He likes the travel side of it to be real chilled, real easy. He doesn't mind doing the fan stuff. He doesn't have, like, he's not precious.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of easy boss,
to
be honest.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you've got the acting, you've got the comedy, but I want to talk to you quite a bit about your album. I've had a listen to it. I really like it.
Cheers,
but
man.
But can you explain the title to me, Stemmer? What does that mean? Because I've looked up and there's about four different meanings to it, and I want to know what that means for you.
Yeah, well, you know, I was reading a book about the history of London, and it came up as like a Latin phrase. I think it's Roman. And like it just struck me in the context they were using it in. They were talking about the connections of these family kind of dynasties, and I was like, oh right, because I was writing an album kind of about family and sins of the father, and you know, behavioural traits that you sort of get passed down to and you worry about passing them on to your kids and whatnot. The album's kind of about that in a lot of ways.
I've definitely picked up some from my old man. That's why I've had such a really hard weekend.
There you go. So I looked it up, and sure enough, like the first meaning is like the genealogy of a family tree.
Yeah.
And the second meaning is how transcript connects together. So how words, phrases, and paragraphs connect together. And I thought both meanings are kind of perfect
for a
rap album.
Yeah.
About family, so yeah.
And when you was like first getting into rap music and stuff, who were your like early influences? Who did you like growing up?
Well, I was like a 90s kid, you know. So I listened to like a lot of like indie and alternative stuff and punk. But the rap that really hit me would have been like the very first ones would have been like Tribe Called Quest, The Far Side, N.W.A.,
cool,
De La, Black Sheep. Cypress Hill, you know, everyone who was like really crossing over in the early 90s with me. Like I wasn't like an expert on rap at that time. So I liked the stuff that generally crossed over into pop, but that was my doorway into more underground stuff and more alternative rap artists. But those are the guys I really remember loving.
Because I'm like a real big like hip hop fan. I think that's like a big influence for me and my style. Like, I love Busta Rhymes, and that sent me off on like
he's
some
another
weird
one from that era.
Thing,
I love
do you know
Busta,
what I mean? Because he's so eccentric and bombastic.
Yeah, he's great, man.
But on your album, you've got obviously one of our mutual friends, Michael Payne.
Of course,
and he's incredible on it. On that track, I really like it. Example, you've got on there as well. Yeah. That song, Lights Out. How did you decide to come up with to kind of use like almost like a Game Boy Tetris kind of sound?
That was really
so good.
Yeah,
such a
I mean,
good
I
idea.
Wanted to write a song about technology and how our relationship with it's changed.
Yeah.
And I was talking to one of the composers on the album, Alex Kors, his name is, about ideas, and he was like, "Oh, I've been doing this thing, like just fucking with some of these Game Boy sounds," and he played me like just that noise, that doo, and then
and
I was like, "This needs to be the bedrock for this tune." So it started with Alex really, and then built from there, and then I'd written the whole song and recorded a sort of demo version of it with Alex, and all I could hear was Example on it. Like, just the beat felt like something you'd have Example singing on or rapping on. So I called him. I just
and another know, really nice guy as well, isn't he? Yeah.
And I knew he was living in Australia, and I thought there's probably a slim chance, but he was like really up for it. In the end, it was the last thing to be recorded for the album, because just trying to get him over here and get the time to record it and get him in the video and everything took a while, but I was so glad I waited, because it's just a nice little surprise at the end of that song to have him. And the video looks great. We're going to put that out in September.
Acting as well, we've got all that we haven't even had a chance to touch on. So one thing, what's your secret in terms of how do you fit it all in? Because like you must just always be thinking about something or work, but how do you literally fit all these projects in? Like you must have to try and fit in the release of an album around something else happening and all
occasionally it's a nightmare when things clash, but on the whole I think from the outside I look a lot busier than I actually am. Like I'll only really do one thing at a time, but you know the nature of these things. If you're acting in something, then that might that not come out for 6 months. Do you know what I mean? I'll make sure that I've sort of got a quarter of each year for one big project. Right. Get that out of the way, then start focusing on it. to the outsiders, it might seem like, oh my God, he's got an album out and he's in this program and he's doing this stand-up tour. But actually, I prepped all three of those things at completely different times. It's just coincidence that now they're out there for public consumption at the same time.
So what do you want to do next? Because it feels like the world's pretty much your oyster. What, like, if, what's your dream thing that you've not done that you'd be like, I would love to have a crack at that? Like a certain kind of film or a certain, someone you'd like to work with in music,
I want to write a hip hop musical. I want to write like a sort of something like comedy and drama with hip hop in a very small contained sort of hour long theatrical piece. I want to do theatre next, and then I'll just get back on the stand up next year, I think.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, one boring question a little, but I've got to cover it.
Go on.
How do you feel, if at all, like your comedy stuff impacts on your credibility as a rapper? Do you feel like people sometimes be like, give you a bit of a like rough ride, or need you to prove yourself a bit more, or
definitely,
not really?
It's problematic. I think the main thing is expectations. So people might come and see me doing music and they just want to hear some jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, definitely there's an aspect of credibility with certain audiences. But on the whole, it's actually the other way around, because, you know, I got into comedy and people were like, you're not really a comedian, like you're a rapper. So like, for people that knew me from the rap days, it's been really simple. It's like, oh, he's back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But for most people, okay, I think they're like, oh, what? So he's like a serious... rapping out's a bit weird, but
because that's like, I obviously know you from comedy, but then when I saw you, I think we did a gig in Camden a couple of years ago, and I was like, you know, I'd never seen you, and I was like, oh, musical comedy kind of stuff, but it's actually nothing like
musical,
that, and really good
comedy.
And like really like had a lot of like agenda and like important things to say.
There's a
like,
reason for everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Really great. And so
I think I think it'd be harder if I was like Lee Evans, you know, if I was like a full on physical clown or something like that.
And then Lee Evans rapping.
I think like, I think like my comedy is, I guess, kind of serious at times, or it's got
absolutely.
Point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And my rap is, my serious rap is not that serious.
Yeah, yeah,
do you know what I'm saying? So when you come and see my rap show, it's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you come and see my comedy show, it's funny,
but
it's
serious.
Not like the rap is not like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Deadpan, like, I don't know. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
of course.
They're not a million miles apart.
No.
I'm still the same guy, like, in both gigs. It's just one's got more jokes than the other.
Cool. And so we're going to let you, like, go and get settled and get ready.
Yeah, get
to
prepped.
To do the
my
show.
Breathing
I'm very much excited to see you
wait,
live.
Man.
I've never seen you do rap, like, straight
good.
Rap, so I'm really excited about that.
Good.
One quick thing, though. It's quite a hard question, but film wise.
Yeah.
If you could be in any film that's already existing as the lead role, what film would you love to have been the lead in?
Oh my God. Wow, that's a really tough one. To be the lead.
Yeah, like for me, pretty obviously, it would be The Labyrinth, right? I'd love to be David Bowie in The Labyrinth. I'm never going to get that job, but that would be my dream. So is there one for you? Like, you'd be like, I'd love to have done that.
I'd quite like to be, I don't know about the lead, like, I'd love to be a character in Goodfellas. Just one of them. Maybe Stax, one of the smaller ones.
All right.
But like, I suppose the lead would be Ray Liotta's or Henry Hill.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd quite like that.
Yeah.
I definitely want to try and nail the like the helicopter scene where he's just mad paranoid. Yeah, man.
Yeah. Well, hang around at this festival for a couple more hours and you might start getting paranoid.
Start seeing helicopters.
listen, it's been so great catching up with you.
Nice one, man.
Really looking forward to your set.
Thank you.
And congratulations on how well it's
going. Cheers, bro. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, nice one, man. Thanks.
Cheers, Joey.
Cheers.
To the restart. Here's how it starts. Hop out the A-class, class A stained glass. Clock my face fast, raw, strange how fame lasts. Take blasts on the zoo, dash it. Bad habit, need to stay sharp. I'm the man in these bars, heads turn as my ears burn. You stay spudding it and breading it. My game remains celibate, in other words, you can't fuck it. My smart wit got your girl in the DMs like Goffs in Camden Market. You start shit, but my vibe untouchable. The shades won't tell you if my eyes are corruptible. The paparazzi hit the flash like an M16. My Air Max got intensive sheen. So fresh, so clean, don't test, bro. Seen I'm on levels that the imitators just won't reach. Papa, don't preach, stop killing my high. Embellish your backstory, body is not realer than mine. Carbonated wine popping off like fireworks. Pain spread all over her face, I guess desire hurts. I'm like royalty tonight and the town ain't ready for the king, but the crown weighs heavy. Very, everybody wanna piece. Do I keep to myself or decide to slice up and divide? Right, step up to the pedestal, give you my commandments. Devastatingly charming, fuck it, what's the harm when nightfall showers from on high two towers that are scheduled for demolition. It's all sour but they'll come for you like they come for me. The small hours ago. Nightfall showers from on high two towers that are scheduled for demolition. It's all sour but they'll come for you like they come for me. The small hours is our ends. The rum and weed have stunted me for I was running free. But underneath I'm stuffed with grief and I'm disgusting me. Got fucked for free and she was shapely. Gave me her gate key, her name escapes me. A great need for judge and jury to flagellate me. But I don't want your sympathy. This symphony will prove that I've got it in for me. I'm in the street and wishing he would start some shit with me. I'm twisted G and seeking action for satisfaction. A chain reaction. Brains made the paving stone slick with the grease. Nearly slip off my feet fam, I'm sick to the teeth. Did he swing for me or did we just start falling? Constellation is calling, I'm floored and I'm falling. For a second it all seems quite clear. Hear myself saying fuck it, I could sleep right here. Laying in the rain, feel the pain emanate. My brain retains few of the remains of the day. Use a drain pipe to hold my body to a straight line. I'm illuminated by a faint light, strange sight. Off balance, hear loud cheers from parties. Pack my pocket, I still got my car keys. Click, click until I hear it blip, blipping and collapse in the driver's seat for 6 minutes. I'm okay to drive if I don't wanna stay alive. Whip it up to fifth and race it straight to 85. Nightfall showers from on high two towers that are scheduled for demolition. It's all sour but they'll come for you like they come for me. The small hours it goes. Nightfall showers from on high two towers that are scheduled for demolition. It's all sour but they'll come for you like they come for me. The small hours.
We're live backstage right now, Orbital. How are you doing, guys? You're headlining tonight, Stand and Calling.
I know, how lovely is that?
Well, it's just a lovely festival, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really, really lovely festival.
Look, they've even given, there's flowers, some flowers to brighten up our day.
It's safe out there and there's lots of families out there. It's it's a really good vibe.
How do you find that? You know, because obviously over the years, playing different festivals, you go to some that it's like no families and it's really good that there's no families there, and then you have the sort of family vibe, the more chill vibe. Is there a preference, or is it you kind of like a smattering of everything?
Well, I think it happened perfectly in tune with my age. When I was younger, I used to like going to Glastonbury because it was basically like being in Game of Thrones. And anything could happen, quite
that's
literally.
That's so true.
Yeah, you know, and it was quite scary. There were shootings, there were all sorts of
dog
stuff
eat
going
dog
on.
Dog eat dog,
yeah,
at
mental
Glastonbury.
And now I'm slightly older.
Slightly
older. I was going to say I like coming to these kind of nice kind of family orientated festivals. I think the thing is festivals have kind of grown up and they people have realized that the people who used to go to festivals like me have kind of got kids and still want to go to festivals, and so they're catered for. This is what's happened. Festivals have just grown. When I was young there was only Glastonbury and WOMAD and that was about it.
So things got pretty intense back in the day, did they? Glastonbury vibes.
Yeah. Glastonbury was crazy. And then everyone worried because they let the police in because it got so heavy. They just started letting the police. And everyone went, oh, that's it. It's all over now. And then actually it was fine because the police kept a low profile. They just wandered around like the Bobby on the beat. They weren't stupid about stopping things that were a bit iffy, you know, but it did keep the peace a bit.
Well, that's the thing. They sort of chill, don't they? I went to Glastonbury this year and I saw there was a police woman in a tutu. She was chilling.
Really?
She wasn't protecting anybody.
She was a police woman?
I mean, actually, now you say it, how drunk was I? I'm not sure. Yeah. But in terms of that, you know, you've done a few festivals, you know the vibe. What's the thing that you need? Every time you go, you're like, I need this thing in this festival. I can't live without it. For me, it is baby wipes.
Baby wipes, that's all good, yeah. Baby wipes, I'm with you on that.
But you know, you're in the VIP vibe, so you've got all this nice stuff. So now, what is the thing that you're like...
A tour bus.
Yeah,
that's what I like. I like my Trojan horse. I like coming in the tour bus and air conditioning, you know, hot and cold running Simpsons on the telly. What, a bed, a toilet, all of those things, all on a tour bus. It's like, you know, a little hotel.
But isn't it weird how we feel like that's so much cooler than our houses? We're like, oh my God, no, dude, I'm going on a tour bus. It's like so much better
around,
than
my... when you get a new tour bus, you run around and go, oh, what's it? Where's the cupboards and what's in there? Yeah, it's great fun.
It's weird. I mean, obviously, I'm speaking like I've had a tour bus before. Never even been on one, but I'm vicariously living through you guys on that.
Yeah, well, have you seen the film Summer Holiday with Cliff Richard?
Yes.
Same thing.
Yeah, okay, fine. So I just need to watch that over and over again to get the full experience. So what are you excited most about today? You're going to go out and see some of the other artists that are playing.
This is the best lineup that we've had for ages, with Kate Tempest, Slaves, so and then sick. Orbital. I'm really looking forward to that sort of lineup. I love Kate Tempest at the minute. I saw her recently at the Brighton Festival, and I really want to see Slaves because I used to love sort of old school punk, and they really are channeling that kind of vibe. So I'm really, and they're obviously going to be a really good live band, I would think. So I'm looking forward to that.
They are incredible live. They properly bring it, and it's really cool that as the headliners, you've got such a sick sort of like.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Every band gets better and better and better. Is
they're
there any?
Very different. They're all very different. That's the thing. You know, I think it's great. It's a great. Yeah, I think it's a great lineup.
Because you don't need everyone's genres to be matching. You know, to make
a good
lineup.
No, it's better if they're.
Not anymore,
they're not. I think it's better if they're not, you know. I like a good mixed kind of lineup.
That's the wonderful thing about festivals, though. Do you know what I mean? It really is, because you don't go there to see one specific band. Well, you might do, but you'll get to catch loads of others. So yeah, it's brilliant.
And over the years, as you say about Glastonbury getting messy, is there anything super weird? I once saw someone talking to their tent at a festival. Is there anything super weird that you've seen? Yeah, actually,
that's
weird, because I was like, when I saw it, I was like, oh, are you okay?
Yeah, my friend alone. Don't talk much.
Is there anything sort of super weird that you've seen at a festival that you were like, or is everything just totally normal for you at that point?
Super weird.
Or like funny.
Super weird. Nothing surprises me, really.
I think that's the thing. You've done so many. It's
sort of.
Is it you guys? Is it because you guys are doing the super weird, fun stuff that?
Possibly. That might be it. That may be it.
Yeah, I've got all these kind of this Rolodex of mad festival memories.
You're like, can I say that out loud?
Do you know what? There is that. The naked man of Glastonbury keeps walking past, the sort of old man with a big grey beard, and he was always there.
Always.
And I'd always see him walking around the same bit. I don't know if he ever went home, if he was just.
I think he lives in that field.
Yeah, it's sort of a bit cat weasel, you know.
Yeah. But
I hope you guys don't mind. Obviously, festival favourite, everybody needs to bring a bum bag to a festival, right? This is my FUBAR fanny pack, and inside is some special questions for you guys. I'm going to unclip. Because that's how I do. If you can go inside it for me.
Oh. Is it like a lucky dip?
And inside you'll find a lucky dip of questions, of random weird shit that we have written down for you to answer for us.
Have you ever gotten too boozy before going on stage? No, but I have got too boozy whilst on stage because you get so overexcited and hyper. And I during the gig, and I've had so much... I had too much vodka and orange with the balance going the wrong way.
Getting your vitamin C,
and
though.
We did a really good... This was live on the radio, Steve Lamacq, and to this day, I cannot remember the last two songs. I don't know how they
And so
went.
You didn't listen back because you were like, I don't want to ever know what happened.
Well, the last bit of the set, they broadcast the first bit of the set and they said, well, you can carry on because there's an audience in the studio. So we said, well, let's carry on and finish our set. I don't remember the last two tracks. He doesn't know that. It's the first time he's ever heard that.
Confession, yeah. He pretends like he's all on it and everything like that. That's great. That's great.
Well, the fact that you can hide that is very admirable. I don't think I could hide it if I wasn't remembering or knowing what the hell was going on during my set.
Muscle memory.
Yes. Okay, well.
Look, if I can't remember, he definitely can't remember.
What gig was that?
So let's have another one. One more to kick off the little festival interview. Brrr.
Would you rather be invisible or be able to read minds?
Ooh, invisible or be able to read minds.
Is this switch on and offable?
No. You've got to choose one forever.
I think you'd go mad with either, actually.
Invisible for me.
Oh, there's invisible, you can turn it on and off, I reckon.
What? Well, read minds, could you switch that off or not?
No.
That would drive you mad.
Yeah,
I could hear all of you lot now. So how many shopping lists and, you know, it'd be insane.
But also for me, I'd be worried about what people are saying. I'd be like, oh, is my outfit... And you'd know immediately if your outfit wasn't right.
Yeah, no, I think it's some things are best left kept quiet. I'd choose invisibility as well.
Amazing.
Because you could always paint yourself blue anyway, couldn't you, for a laugh? You know.
You guys are the best. Can we just hang out all day?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We're going to have some sunflowers and we're going to have some of the... They've got great drinks backstage. Thank you so much for coming to have a chat with Fubar Radio. Orbital, it's been a huge pleasure. And we can't wait to watch your set later on tonight.
Cheers.
Bye.
Excited to be in the hallowed dressing room of the wonderful, amazing Mr. Gary Newman. How you doing?
I'm doing really well, thank
yeah,
you.
Great.
Not sure about hallowed though.
Huh?
Not sure about hallowed.
Well, you've got the nicest sofa out of all the dressing rooms. You've got the best chairs. So you should,
oh, brilliant.
There you go. Don't know if that was on your rider. Comfy little leather sofa.
No. Oh, God, no, nothing like that. No.
So, start with what I was just talking to you about off camera, is that your new song is absolutely incredible, and
I
enjoyed your last album, but this feels like not a different, it just seems like such a hard kind of bass line to it and just really incredible. It feels like so futuristic and amazing. I just wondered, is that the direction that you're going to take your next album, or is it a standalone track, or what's going on?
No, it's pretty much
it's a good example of what the album's like.
Great.
It's a little bit more up tempo than some of the others. It's not a fast song, the the Ruin song, but it's very indicative of the sort of thing. I worked a lot. I wanted all the choruses to be, everything, to be as anthemic as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, these huge, massive choruses, thinking very much about live, actually, and how it would sound live. They don't all have that sort of big groove thing going on that the singles got, but they've all got elements of that.
Yeah, okay.
I think the single was probably, it was a good choice, and I think it was a good window into what the rest of the album is.
Of course. Well, if it is, then I'm really excited to hear that. And have you played that at any of the festivals you've been doing so far?
No, we've only done, we did three shows before we got here over the last 3 days. Really just to try out the new stuff and see what it was like and let some people get a feel for it and what's going on. But really just selfishly, I wanted to try different new songs each night and gauge reaction so that when I come back in the end of September and do the proper tour to promote the album, because it'll be out in September, middle of, I'll be a little bit wiser as to what songs to put in from the album. So it was really just a little litmus test, really.
I just feel like at a festival especially, that's going to go off today in a big way.
Yeah,
and that's not even the kind of language that I normally like to use. Like, I'm not like a kind of go off kind of guy, but I couldn't think of a better way to describe it than it's just going to go crazy. I reckon.
Well, it might. I don't know. Nobody would know the stuff. There's two or three old songs that we do. Mm-hmm. We're doing 11 songs. Three of them are old songs from back in the day. That most of the people that are here weren't even born when they come out. Mm-hmm. So you don't even know if they're going to know them. So my sort of feelings about festivals are, if you're going to do songs, if people don't know your stuff, you might as well do the stuff that you're most happy with, which usually tends to be the stuff you're doing now. So that's what I'm doing. Two or three of the really old stuff, because there is a chance that people will remember Cars and things like that.
Well, obviously they will, but
well, maybe, but maybe not. I mean, that would come out in 1979. Do you know what I mean? There's probably not many people here that were born then, so they might do from a TV commercial or something, but they might not.
Well, it was on somewhere last night in one of the bars, and people were writing to
I hope so, but The main thrust of it is to play the newer stuff, and because that's where I am at the moment. Mm-hmm. That's the album that's coming out. That's musically where I am, and creatively where I am. And I do not like living on past glories. Yeah.
You can totally tell that. Like, you're always like pushing the edge of it, and it's a real credit to you that you've got your sound, but you're always like making it sound different. But you still know it's one of your records, do you know what I mean?
The voice is sort of quite recognisable.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a double-edged sword, really, because it's not a particularly good one, but it has a sound. So as soon as you can do what you like with the music, I think, and as soon as I start singing, then it will sound like me.
Yeah, yeah.
Which isn't necessarily a good thing, but it does give you a sound, and a lot of people search their entire careers to find a sound that's,
of course,
that's theirs,
an
identity that's theirs. So I'm not grumbling, I just wish I had a better voice, that's all.
Do you feel like, and I feel, I don't want to make it sound old, but like legacy wise, do you feel like sometimes you don't necessarily get the respect that I would say you deserve, in terms of like, you see people like recently, David Bowie's last couple of records and Paul Weller being like quite good at changing up their sound and pushing the boundaries, and I feel like you do exactly the same and you don't get quite as much credit for that.
I don't know, actually. I was thinking that I do pretty well in terms of credit. I've got an Ivor Novello Award in May for innovation in songwriting. I got one last year from Q, I think, for again innovation or influence, I think it was. Most of the Grace Jones tonight done a cover version of one of my songs.
Did she?
Yeah, it is. There's a massive amount of people do covers of my stuff or some of my stuff, and say loads of really, really cool things. So I felt for a long time that I get a really generous amount of credit for what I've done. But I'm not. It's not as if I'm out there looking at every interview and seeing if anyone mentions my name, because I don't really care too much about that side of it. But I do read things, and
And I have no grumbles at all. Again, I've got no issues with that at all. I think I get with even the program here, talks about being the godfather of this, that, and the other, and influence, and yeah, that's lovely. But that's not normal. You know, that's sort of pretty much written whatever I do and wherever I go. So I'm totally comfortable with the recognition, as it
were. Long may it continue. Like, I'm a real big fan. I'm really excited to see you today. And one thing, if there's a sudden downturn, I've got a second line of work for you if you're interested in this.
Really?
Right? Yeah. Come up with a brainchild, and it's... I had to write it down because I won't remember. Basically, if you fancy ever going into sort of like doing weddings, a super group with you, Gary Oldman, one of the borrowers, and Duncan from Blue. Something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. How do you feel about that?
Oh, yeah.
We'll do that.
Oh, it's a brilliant idea.
There we go.
That's why you're where you are.
Exactly why I'm only where I am. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much, and enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Cheers, man. We'll be right back.
you're joining us live, Fubar Radio, backstage with Lucy Spraggan. How's it going, babes?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm really well. Good. I just watched your set. It was absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
You know how to make the crowd do stuff. Do you know what I mean? Because at festivals, it must be hard because everyone's doing their own thing. They're all milling around, eating pasties and whatever. And you just grabbed the attention and everyone was like singing along and doing the... It's great.
It's going to sound weird, but I make people bark. There's a song where I make people bark in it, and I just feel it's quite fun making people bark, really.
I think it's very fun.
So that's like mainly for me, but then...
but is this so even part of the song? You're just like, bark for me.
No, I
bark
really enjoy
for me,
it.
Bitches.
Like, getting people to sing along is like, it's really good. Like, because I feel like sometimes I'll go to a show and watch, and I'll be like, this is like me just watching music and I'm enjoying it, but I want to like get stuck in. Get embarrassing and stuff.
I'm definitely one for like singing along.
Good.
I think it's the most important. I don't like going to those things where it's no speaking, no words.
I've never been there. What, you went somewhere they're like no words please.
No, you know, no like speaking. Music with no words. Sometimes you're a bit like, I just want to sing along.
Like if you're at the opera and you'd
yeah.
be like,
I'd be like, however opera is, that's not opera, that's more Mariah Carey, but you know, you win some, you lose some. So tell me a little bit about how this year's been going for you. Obviously you've been popping around the festivals, we've just been talking a little bit about your festival antics, but what's been the sort of highlight of the year so far?
Well, I came off tour in March. We like playing some of the biggest venues I've ever played. That is some loud music, if you can hear that bass. It's
Beats
bassy.
By Dre, not literally, but
and like I was playing like the Ritz and Coco and stuff, and it was like just being able to do those venues is like, I cried a couple of times, but like no one really saw,
but not really.
And then we've been doing this massive festival season with like the Isle of Wight Festival. I played Glastonbury the other week.
I know, I was there,
and it was just like, it is just a bit weird. So like it's been amazing. This year has literally been the best year of my life, and that's a very cliche thing to say.
No, I think it's cool when you can say as you get older the years keep getting better.
Like a fine wine or cheese.
Both of which I love to enjoy.
Me too.
Imagine if we could have just had a fine wine and cheese party in your dressing room.
It would have been perfect.
I think so.
We're having a moment.
We are. So just leave us alone.
Shut the camera down.
So tell me, what is... Obviously, you play loads of big festivals. You've been around doing a lot of fun gigs. What is the most important thing that you bring with you every time you do a gig? Specifically festivals, because I think it's important, you know, you need certain things when you go in there, like whether it's on your rider or whether it's something you keep in your pocket. Like,
actually, I've had this really weird problem recently when I've been playing gigs. I don't know if it's a new makeup or something, but my eye starts watering, right?
That is probably like mascara.
My wife says that's old age, actually, that your eye just starts watering. I don't know, but it starts watering and then my makeup starts running.
Yeah,
and then it goes in my eye. I had to take all of my makeup off at a gig.
Yeah. Live?
On stage.
Sick!
It was
like,
bad.
Guys, bear with me, I need a makeup wipe.
I couldn't see. I was like I was going, like, it was awful.
It's very rock and roll, like, fuck, I can't even play because my mascara is in my eye.
It was so bad, and then I had to take it off, and then I did that thing happened when you leave the stage, when you got no makeup on, and people are like, are you okay? You look really ill. And you're like, I've just got no makeup on.
And you're like, go fuck yourself.
Thanks for calling me ugly.
I mean, to be fair, any woman without, when you sort of have your makeup and you don't, you know, there's certain elements of your makeup you have to wear before you leave.
Yeah,
like for me, it's eyebrows.
Yeah.
And if without my eyebrows on, don't speak to me. You know,
it's absolutely
and
right.
You just went absolutely in there and just took it all off.
Went naked.
Smashed it.
It was awful. But yeah, that would be what I take, makeup wipes, because also if you're just going to get a bit stinky and whatever, then
very important.
They double up as baby wipes.
I would, mine's baby wipes at all times. Hands, feet, other places. Keeping them clean. It's very important.
Don't want to get trench foot.
See?
Very,
it's very
dangerous.
Very dangerous at festivals. You can contract things like trench foot. Now, this is my Fubar Radio fanny pack that I've been taking around and making people get inside. So please, Lucy Spraggan, will you just take a dip in my fanny pack?
Yeah.
And inside are some weird, weird, weird questions that we've written for you. So if you could read it out for us.
Who is your least favourite family member?
Oh, there you go.
It's hard because I dislike them all the same.
Tough one.
It is hard. It's hard to say who I hate the most. My sister is maybe the most hated.
Strong contender.
She's very, yeah, I mean.
She annoying?
She's not annoying, she's just vile.
Okay. Shout out to Lucy Spraggan's
sister.
She's
called Ella, I'm just joking.
Shout out Ella. Okay,
really.
In we go again. Let's find another one.
That was a hard question. If you got someone that likes their family, that'd be a really hard choice.
Yeah, I know, nightmare, right?
What was the last song that made you cry? I have no soul.
Oh,
actually,
same.
I went to watch Dunkirk though yesterday. Have you seen it? Have you seen it?
No, not yet. But I've heard it's super duper emotional. Don't cry, Lucy Spraggan.
What was the last song that made me cry?
Dunkirk's a good enough answer for me.
Yeah, Dunkirk. Like the score was amazing.
Hans
as well.
Zimmer did the score, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Honestly, the whole thing is put together perfectly.
Let's do another one.
Yeah,
sounds a bit depressing,
sorry,
those ones.
Bit
depressing.
Let's have another.
Let's have some lightness of the festival. Crikey. Here we go. So, would you rather?
Would you rather go about your normal day naked, or fall asleep for a year? Are you naked for a year?
No, just a day. Just the day, but you have to go. So say you're Lucy Spraggan. Your day would probably consist of, like, you know, coming to Stand and Calling and doing a performance. So you might have to do that naked.
Yeah, I think I'd miss out on a lot over a year. Like, a lot of chances to hate on my sister and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think I'd just be naked for the day.
Yeah, I think that's... I would definitely go
for
that.
It's quite liberating as well. I'll shave my head while I'm at it as well. So.
Shave your head. Shave it all. Shave it all off. Why not? One more for the FUBAR fanny pack.
FUBAR fannies.
FUBAR fannies.
There's even one in there. I've emptied your fanny bag.
Oh, crikey. She's emptied my fanny pack. Lucy Spraggan has emptied my fanny pack here at Stand and Calling. Thank you so much for coming to have a chat. It's been a real, real pleasure. We really enjoyed your live performance. So please come back. Join us in the studio. We'll have even more fun like this.
Cheese and wine and stuff.
Cheese and wine and talking about how much you hate your family.
Thank you.
Thank you and bye-bye.
Last night I told you I loved you.
Woke up, blamed it on the vodka. I genuinely thought I was dying, and I could see that smile you were hiding. Last night I told you I need you. That's the last time I drink tequila. Super lemon and a psychic soul kid. I start crying and verbally assaulting. Last night I asked you to marry me. That's when I remembered the brandy. I wake up and claim I didn't say it. Screwed if I ever wake up in Vegas. Wish I could stop, but I'm not joking. Drinking too much and socially smoking. Wish I could stop, start to behave and then wake up in the morning and never miss a day again. Last night police had to frisk me in the cell thanks to Bell's fine whiskey. I think I said too much, like, do you like my bracelets? Oh wait, they're handcuffs. Last night I said I want your babies. Forget the ice, it's not nice to drink Baileys. I drink that much that I forget whatever embarrassing thing I say next. You said I got on one knee and there's no way unless I've been drinking. Oh wait, rosé. Sailor Jerry's rum, I think I drunk too much. Showing randomers way too much love. Last night I called you a loser. I think that was after flaming Zambuca. I shouted at you, do me a favour. And that's when I fell off the pavement. Wish I could stop, but I'm not joking. Drinking too much and socially smoking. Wish I could stop, start to behave and then wake up in the morning and never miss a day again. Cause I'd love to learn when to shut my mouth. Wake up in the morning and be in my own house. Do one last shot and know when to stop. No more photos on Facebook of me doing a robot. Know when to leave and when to lock my front door. Stop waking up and choosing in a bed full of people. Sitting in a cupboard with my weird best friend. But I'm only young so I'm not gonna pretend. I wish I could stop cause I'm not joking. I love drinking too much, I'm socially smoking. Don't wanna stop or learn to behave, amen. I just missed another day again.
FUBAR Radio.
What a treat this is for me personally and for you guys in there. I'm joined by Joe from Cabbage.
Hello, Joey.
How are you going? You're right, man.
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Really excited to have you, FUBAR Radio.
Where does that come from, FUBAR?
You know, fucked up beyond all recognition. It's like an army term, but it's fucked up beyond all radio.
It's an army term.
But it's like... they've changed the R to radio rather than recognition.
Right.
It's just a clever marketing genius thing on their part. I do a couple of like questions. I just need to get them out of the way. Find stuff out, and you probably answered them a million times, but let's go through it, right? Because you're so different to anybody that's out at the moment, right? And I feel like it's really good for your band because you're quite politically charged that the whole world's a mess. Do you feel like every time you see something in the news, you kind of go, oh, this is great for us?
No, I don't think we are insensitive and egotistical to think, oh, this is a great opportunity to produce art. However, I do believe that some of the best art comes from austere political times.
Yeah.
Speaking to Lowell Tolhurst from The Cure, and obviously The Cure began as a three-piece during Thatcher's Britain, and you know, he said it was it definitely shaped them as individuals and as a group. So yeah, it's an interesting time to be.
Yeah,
to be
well, and I think like the music scene has really sort of like stuff has started growing out of that. So for music at least, I think it's great that we live in this awful time. But and I want to talk a little bit about that. It is awful, isn't it? I want to talk a little bit about the dynamic of the band, right? Because you guys are both frontmen of sorts, right, together.
So I'll just say, but following on from last point, it is brilliant. We did a gig at the Ritz with two fantastic bands who I'd like to mention, Strange Bones and The Blinders.
Strange Bones.
They were both very politically charged, as you put it, so rightfully. Yeah, and it was really inspiring to see a lot of young people who'd scratched political messages onto the chest, and you know, just, I mean, it might be, obviously, you're 14, you might have somewhat of a naive approach, and well, maybe not naive, but you know, the fact that young people are engaging in politics such a positive way and are being galvanised for a good cause is fantastic, really.
Yeah,
so I'm terribly sorry to interrupt you there, John.
No, don't worry about that. It's just going to be this is going to be a question about dynamics. Are you ready?
I'm ready, boy.
How do you work? Like, do you ever like fight over songs, like lyrics and stuff, or do you go, oh, well, I've written this one, I'm doing this, I'm doing that? What's the dynamic of how do you like create your?
It's a very collective melting pot of musicians, really. There's no definitive leader as such in terms of writing the music. It's we all rely on each other's input. We share what little royalties we get five ways. We think, you know, we've always thought that was an important thing to do.
Yeah, that is good.
All of us are equal in this group.
Yeah.
So it's a really nice creative process, really. Someone will have an idea and then it'll be added to, and then we'll come together and it'll develop into something. It'll go off on a tangent quite often, there's never any bickering. I think it's nice to have a co-frontman, because you know, I only have to do half the work,
so. Well, this isn't really a question, this is more of a statement.
Not true, we both
right?
work very
well, I know you do. You're always gigging and knocking it out, and this is not really a question, it's more of a statement. What you guys do amazingly well, and I think it's the hardest thing in music, is that you manage to like really tread that line between making really good music and also being quite funny. Do you know what I mean? Without it crossing over into like awful comedy music.
Thanks very much.
You've got a real good, like, really wry, pithy sense of humour, and it's great. I love to see that come across in your music.
I'm trying to think of a joke to keep up this humorous image that
I think it's a bit late in the afternoon for that, isn't it?
I have no jokes. Fucking terrible.
So, what we're going to do now, it's gimmick thing. It's gimmick time. This is a FUBAR fanny pack.
Right.
And inside, there's just loads of random questions. So, I'm just going to pull one out.
Cool. Yeah, no. I keep doing this because I'm a knobhead. But, we thought it was a really good way of portraying a positive political message by lacing it with black humour as such. You know, it's a nice... it's a nice way to get the message
but
across.
But also,
and it
like,
also amuses us.
And you pick out great little things, like obviously, like doing a song about dinner ladies and things like that. It's the little crumbs of things that happen in society that are like always the best things that everyone goes, oh yeah, but you wouldn't necessarily think to talk about it. So
I appreciate
it's great that you do
Thank
that. You. Anyway,
FUBAR funny pack time, and then we'll let you go and maybe put the towel back on your hair, take it up, re-dry that again, and get ready for your show. What was the last song that made you cry, Joe?
Satellites by Bill Ryder Jones. I went to watch him in Sheffield.
Yeah.
On his own. For everything I've ever loved and gone and tore apart, I think. It's just an amazing piece of music, really. I've never cried at a gig before, but I did weep during that, so.
Nice. Yeah. It's a very touching moment. See, that's what sometimes some shit comes out of the bum bag, sometimes something good comes out. Last one. If you had to abolish a genre of music, which one would you get rid of? What do you not like and what's not your cup of tea?
None of them. I think all genres serve a purpose for someone out there. You know, music's an incredibly powerful way of touching the psyche and, you know, doing amazing things for people. So I'd keep all music. It all serves a purpose.
Such a magnanimous, well-learned answer from you there, Joe. Man, it's been so lovely having you come on our show, and I really enjoy your music. I'm really looking forward to seeing your show tonight. I'm going to be down there.
Nice one. Where are you from? Where's that accent from?
It's like on the edge of like Essex and London. So it's like, my old man's like a real Cockney, so there's quite a bit of that.
Is it really?
But it's a bit
Kent. No, rhyming slung.
Oh, no, loads.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you been for a Barclays Bank at all this weekend?
Not this weekend, no, because
that's the only one.
Sharing a tent, mate.
Terribly cruised. No.
Claire Rayners.
Drainers.
Yeah. You know him, you just don't know you know him.
Yeah.
Britney Spears.
Can I have another go on your butt?
Go on
bag,
then.
See what we got. Would you rather always be playing a gig or never play a gig again? Fuck a duck. I'd have to choose the former. Always be playing. Do we get any gaps? Any breaks?
Yeah, but I'd say every day. Like, not, I don't think, I think you have to be on every day.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Which you pretty much are anyway, aren't you?
Yeah.
So,
that's fine, that, yeah. I'd go clinically insane, more so than I already am.
It'd be fine, that. Yeah. Great. Well, thanks so much for that.
Thanks, Joey. Cheers,
have
lad.
A good gig tonight.
Thank
and
you very much.
If you're hanging around, I'll give you some more
thanks
Budweisers.
Thanks so much, man. Lovely.
Cheers.
I really wanna fight for my country.
backstage. This is FUBAR Radio. We're at Stand and Calling. Alex Francis is joining us. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
Very, very well. Good. Enjoying the gales.
Yeah, it's trying, isn't it?
But it's we're having fun. We're at a festival. It's good.
We're always
vibes.
Having fun. Exactly.
It's
always.
Lovely to see you. How was your set today?
It was cool.
You had fun.
Yeah, we did. We did. First time we played it. Like, we never played Stand and before. Most of what I'm up to this summer is like playing festivals that I haven't played before. So it's a cool feeling. I feel like we come along with our sound and we're trying to earn people's. You know, she's, what's he doing?
I'm hijacking.
I'm joining in. Just trying to okay. give people like our sound and hope they're going to like it. And I felt like it went really well. So yeah.
Are you hanging around? Are you going to watch anyone else tonight?
Yeah, totally. I'm just going to try and find some stuff I don't know and see if I can get into it.
So you took the mic just to hold it for a bit, did you?
He said cool. He said something.
He's so cool, man. So I really wanted to talk to you a little bit about one of my favourite people in the whole world that you've been working with, Mel C.
Right.
Sporty. She's a babe.
She's a real babe.
She's a Spice Girl.
Yeah, man.
How was it to get in the studio with a Spice Girl, working
awesome.
With her? Yeah.
It was a little off the wall to begin with when the whole thing kind of materialised. But, I mean, my first and foremost was like, let's hit the song and let's go from there. And she, it sounds totally condescending, and it totally isn't, but she's a very, very musical person. She's like, a lot of people don't know she was involved in a lot of the writing of those initial songs for the Spice Girls. She's got a wonderful creative flair, so getting to go in and record the parts with her was an amazing experience. I'm so glad I did it. Like, in January, when it kind of got pitched, I had no idea that I'd be doing that kind of thing. And it's so weird, because like, when I was a kid, obviously, they're much like your Michael Jacksons or your Backstreet Boys or whatever. Like, there's all that stuff, all those kind of superhero style pop stars. And so, you know, I never thought I'd be doing that kind of thing with
her. Did you have to suppress the urge to actually say zig zig ah to her? Because I think I would have to.
She loves all that kind of thing. She loves all that kind of jovial, you know, Spice Girls
the lols.
Puns.
So her last duet was obviously with Bryan Adams.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was it quite, you know, filling the shoes of Bryan Adams?
I love that tune.
Yeah, I love that.
I love that tune.
Massive banger.
When You're Gone, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she's done so many bangers since she left Spice Girls as well.
She's got a really, really, you know, sort of, what would you call it, like a celebrated career. She's done a lot. This is her, the album that the track is on, is her album's called Version of Me, and it's her seventh studio album since the Spice Girls. But it's incredible. Like, we did the tour too, around the UK and Europe, and she, yeah, her fans, they're crazy, they're nuts, they're amazing, but they're so loyal, and it's like, it's inspirational to watch. It's the kind of thing that I'm trying to, you know, with the schedule this summer, we're just trying to find that, trying to build that, you know, for ourselves.
I'm so jealous, because I once met her and she said my name back to me, and I just melted.
You're like,
she was like, thank you, Harriet, and I was like,
whoa.
Goodbye. Whoa. So you've actually spent serious amounts of time and worked with her, so yeah. I'm just like fangirling right
oh,
now.
Oh man, she's the most lovely lady. She's awesome.
But also, it's really exciting to hear about what's going on with you. So much exciting stuff. As you say, you're hitting the BBC introducing stage a little bit later.
Yeah.
Did you expect to kind of come into the music industry and get this kind of excitement from people, and people be so looking forward to seeing you and what you've got to give to the music industry?
My whole thing has always been, you know, you take compliments and stuff as they come, and you try and do something constructive with them, and the criticisms as well. But like, I'm lucky that I get to do this full time. I don't have to do anything else, and it's kind of, I just want to do, you know, every show we do or every opportunity to write with somebody new, I just want to try and do the best job.
Do you find gigging festivals is much different to playing your own like solo shows?
Definitely a different vibe, yeah, for sure. Like, you know, if you're doing a club, you can. I mean, we did a show at do you know the Servants Jazz Quarters in Dalston?
Oh, it's such a sick venue.
It's a cool venue. It's snug venue.
It's very tight.
But we had a great night, and you know, we did that. That was a show to launch my EP that came out in June, and I mean, that was, you know, there's a certain energy there than compared to when you do a festival. But like, this whole dynamic and like being a new act to a lot of people, and like being a kind of emerging act, whatever you want to call it, like we come out and we want to earn people, we want to earn their kind of interest. So I love that for festivals. I love that kind of,
I feel like Stand and Calling has that element of people are coming because they want to find new music, and
I think
they
want
to learn.
I think it's one of those for sure. Yeah, totally.
Which I think is really sweet, because it's like you're kind of getting, and there's a lot of young people here as well.
There are, it's a lovely
the
diverse.
The young generation, eh?
Oh man.
Those young'uns.
Days of old.
Oh yes, let's bum bag.
Hey.
Let's bum bag.
So,
right.
FUBAR Radio, we've brought with us to this festival a mystical bum bag.
Right.
Inside, well, it's my mystical bum bag. I'm going to call it that, and I'd like you to go inside my mystical bum bag and find.
I thought you'd never ask.
Yes, I was. Thank you. I'm blushing now. Tom, do you want to take control of the mics?
I will.
Like that.
I've got it now.
He rocks it.
So please go inside my bum bag and find something fun.
It's tense.
Okay.
What could it be? Loose change.
All right, okay.
A moth.
He's doing a cock with his leg there.
A cock with my leg.
Oh, so open it up.
You open it up and we'll see what's the the magical question.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Who is your least favourite family member? Well, it's not my brother. I love my brother and he loves me, I think. Wow, who is your least favourite family member?
That's a bastard question.
I'd say it's my parents' cat.
Oh,
Oscar. I love Oscar. I love him to death.
But cats can be. But
he's Dick.
Man, he's like, yeah, he's up and down. He blows hot and cold. Especially when I come home from like a few weeks away or whatever. Like,
and he's like,
and the first embrace I want is Oscar. And he's like, they say that a dog learns to love you or something, but a cat, like, a cat chooses you, but you choose a dog.
Arrogant. Right? Yeah, cats are arrogant.
Is that right? Yeah. So he's probably, even though I love him, he's my least family member, my least favorite.
Solid choice.
Well, thank you so much for coming to have a chat with us. It's been a pleasure to meet you backstage. Let's go and enjoy some cowpats.
Yeah, totally. I hear they're good this time of year.
I think so. So thank you so much, Alex Francis, ladies and gentlemen.
My pleasure.
Food Bar Radio.
Thank you, sir.
Live Foo Bar Radio, we're joined by Fickle Friends. Guys, how's it going? So you're performing a little bit later on. I think it's like 6:10. Are you
6:10?
6:10. It's almost kind of a perfect time because everyone's had a chance to have a drink and have a bit of a good time. Yeah. Is that sort of like a good time for you guys? A good set time?
I think so.
Yeah.
That kind of the six p.m. to 8:30 p.m. is like those are the slots you want.
And everyone loves the clock off work early, like to be done by 6:30, 7:00 would be great for you guys.
Exactly. Yeah. Looking forward to it. Just hoping the rain kind of holds off.
It will.
Do you know what? We were here yesterday and there were lots of bands. Slaves performed in the rain and everyone was loving it. Honestly, I don't think it'll hold people back today.
Yeah, great. I was going to say, embrace the rain.
If that's a vibe then, it's fine.
We're in England. You're at a festival.
Yeah, I mean, there's a swimming pool, so just get into your swimming trunks early. And oh, did you not know that? There's a swimming pool here.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
Oh.
I guess we'll
so
be...
should we all go for a swim after this interview?
Yeah. Come off stage, bit sweaty, go jump in.
I'll go pick up one of those avocado Lilos for us. And
yes. All the pizza ones. Have you seen the pizza slice ones?
Just any food-related Lilo would be fantastic.
That'd be great.
I hope you guys don't mind. I brought my Foo Bar Radio fanny pack.
Literally no expense spent on that sign.
But I thought I'd go for a different... Because yesterday I was wearing it around here, so I thought I'd go for a different vibe, wear it around my chest, Does it look shit?
It's okay.
But all the kids are rocking it like this these days. So.
Maybe I'm not.
But I'm going to unclip it anyway because I'd like you guys to have a go inside my FUBAR fanny pack. Fanny pack?
So basically, inside there, there's some random questions that we would like you to just answer.
Would you rather go about your normal day naked or fall asleep for a year?
Very, very crucial question.
I think it has to be today, though.
Yeah, today.
The naked
so you're naked
day.
Today?
Oh, just for one day?
Yeah. I don't want to fall asleep for a year. Imagine all the stuff you'd miss. Also, really critical point in our music career. Don't screw in that.
What a publicity stunt to do your whole set naked as well.
Free the nipple. I think it's very down with the kids at the moment if I was to get naked. Hands down, naked one.
Hands down, yes.
What's your porn star name? So it's the first street you lived on and your pet's name.
I've already got a porn star name.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not that.
It's not
Tell us. No, it doesn't matter. You can give it whatever. You do you, hun. Whatever your porn star name is, you go.
It's Jack Magnum. She knows it already.
Jack Magnum.
One, two, three. Jack Magnum.
So where did that come from?
Just my porn star name, isn't it?
Okay, cool.
You just have one. Sometimes you
Harry, you've ever got one or you've not? Yeah. I've not. But what, you've ever got one or you've not?
Who is your least favourite family member?
Great question. What
I'm
about weird Uncle Bob?
Who I love the least. I'm like, who do I
actually? I know who it is. And I really hope that they don't see it. But it's my my granddad's wife.
What?
Who's not.
That's
who,
not. Oh, I was in my immediate family.
Does it have to be immediate family?
Well, just
be whatever you want it to be.
Oh. My mum always ringing me.
God, stop ringing, mum.
Dina,
don't
can mind
ring
me,
Dina.
Dina, he's fine.
If you could have any other job, what job would you have? What are my talents? What are my secret skills?
Well, you dress amazing, so maybe you could be a designer, fashion.
Do you know what, actually?
Fashion kind of consultant.
Yeah, no.
Or
so I go really big on Depop. I'd probably have you. You know the girl who started Nasty Gal. I'd probably just kind of reinvent myself as some sort of groundbreaking vintage clothing reseller.
Well, I think you're halfway there because you look sick today.
Thanks.
How much for the T-shirt?
I got this for £5 in a stall over there.
Sick. You need to have a second life so that you can do both these careers at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm going to get another question for
Thanks.
You there.
Okay. Dun, dun, dun.
Sorry, we haven't got much to do today, so we're going to really...
I don't want to move, so we're all having a nice time.
We have hours. Let's all go for lunch together.
Yay!
We're genuinely doing that after this now.
What three bands / artists are on your fantasy festival lineup?
Well, we've been asked this a few times. It's a good one.
Yeah. The question, though, that we usually get asked is if you could throw a house party / festival and you could have any three artists, bands, dead or alive, in the lineup, who would they be?
Yeah, you can definitely have dead or alive in this one.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I think...
Can we agree on Michael Jackson?
Yeah, I think Michael Jackson would be, like, headliner, just general headliner, because it's, like, hits.
Having watched the movie
afterwards, because it's we need like a DJ afterwards.
Daft Punk.
To have Daft Punk DJ afterwards through the night.
Just forever, Daft Punk forever. To open,
we'd need like some rock. You want some fun and like you need a band. I've always went with like someone like Nirvana, where everyone can have a good time, or like someone like that. Maybe
I feel like Nirvana, Michael Jackson, Daft Punk would be a very hard hand to beat in festival lineup poker.
Guys, you've really thought about this.
Maybe start
this
a festival.
Yeah,
I'm gonna chuck something in that I know you
Joey's
guys are gonna love. It's
you.
A question about your name, and I'm sure you love those.
Really?
Now, Fickle Friends.
Yep.
In your phone book, who is in there that you could easily delete? I basically want you to take your phone out and delete a Fickle Friend that you don't need in there. It's not a question; it's a demand, basically.
Yeah, basically.
There are a lot
really
of people I could delete right now, though.
Just any one of them.
Who's Ali?
Who are you?
Who's
get
Ali?
Off.
I reckon Ali's got one of them scooters.
Even. Can you just delete people? Right, okay, so this one's just going to go straight away. Edit. Do you want me to actually... This is a quite delete. Yeah, delete. Done.
She's gone.
Doesn't that feel good?
It feels really good.
I've got lots.
Who's Arnie?
You got to keep Arnie.
They're all Tinder.
They're all Tinder.
It's like Lucy Tinder, Jasmine Tinder... Which Tinder are you going to delete?
Ooh, Megan none of the Tinders,
Tinder,
obviously.
Megan Tinder Cardiff.
They're dated as well.
They're on tour Tinders.
Megan Tinder Cardiff. Because otherwise, Millie Tinder.
You've got someone called Missing Cat on there.
That was because there was a missing cat. I saw a missing cat poster, and then I realised that this cat had climbed into my window a few nights before, so I
I wrote the number down.
Mrs. Tibbles.
No, it was another cat.
Oh. And then you never Paige. Called them.
Paige Tinder.
Paige Tinder. That's me.
Joey Paige Tinder. That's yeah, him, that's yeah? Me.
Did you just not do it? You're like, oh no, better not.
Well,
did you delete
you're right.
it?
I, that is someone I know.
Do you re- the reason the reason he couldn't delete it is because this girl. Sorry, it's because this girl gave him for free a kettle, a toaster, a coffee machine.
Yeah, she's a friend. She's a nice girl.
And she sounds great.
I forgot that I met her on Tinder, but that is her. Yeah. Oops.
Right, we better call it a day yeah. there, guys, because my producer's shouting at me over there. This has been Fubar Radio Backstage with Fickle Friends. Thank you so much.
Have good a great luck. Gig, guys.
Good luck today. We're going to be there like Sick. This. And hopefully I can get my number in your phones and you won't delete it in this game in future. Or you can use it to delete in this game in future.
That'd be good. Nice ammo for
now. Let's go for lunch, eh?
Yeah.
Bye.
Cool yourself down. I think I'm getting stuck. I think I'm getting hooked on you. Your cheeks are so warm and mine are glowing too. Yeah, I can feel our lips. Get a room. Well, I don't believe it. Yeah, I think I have pursuits. I think you have pursuits too.
Now to be joined backstage by a band that I've had on my show already. I saw them live for the first time today and they were excellent. It's Tangerines.
Hello.
Hiya.
Hello.
Hello. So, post gig, how are you feeling? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did.
It was good.
You guys are like, having a lot of fun, and there was a man at the front called Big Fred.
Jeff.
Big Jeff. Big Jeff.
Yeah. Apparently, he's from Bristol.
And he had all the festival wristbands on, and he had the best hair I've ever seen, and he was really...
He did wait till after we played to rain, I guess. That's a good thing.
Yeah. It's a good sign,
yeah.
It's a really good festival, right? But today is really, like, pop-heavy. And so to have you guys on was like a real nice treat for people that aren't that into pop. But do you feel like at the minute it's a little bit out of fashion to be like a really good guitar band?
Totally. Kind of half, maybe. Maybe, I don't know. Like,
yeah. Do you feel like you're almost carrying the weight of rock and roll on your shoulders a little bit now? Yeah, good. That's what I'm getting at.
That's the fun bit. That's why the record is called Into the Flop House, because it's a big, huge, massive flop of rock and roll. Yeah,
and it is great because you've got such a good sound and a good look. I don't know if anyone's ever told you this, but you remind me of Harry H. Corbett from Steptoe and Son.
Oh, good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you know he was going for that look?
It's my uncle.
Is it?
No.
All right. I'm gullible. I'll go for anything. Right, what I want to do with you guys, we've got the FUBAR fanny pack, right? And it's just got some questions in there, but they're all just random that people have written. So someone stick a hand in and pull one out, and then
go on,
just
Garrett.
See what happens.
Can I just ask, is your hair that colour so you blend into the background?
Okay. Is that this, basically we're talking to assistant producer Abby and her grey hair matching the grey walls of the?
You ready?
Yeah, I like it. But
if you had to, what genre would you abolish?
Oh, if you had to,
there's no punctuation. In
there's no punctuation. Right, okay. If you had to abolish one genre of music, which one would it be? Or would you want gone?
Maybe he's
you know what, and this is the comedy song.
Oh right, yeah.
Like crazy,
they're not funny.
Crazy yeah. Frog.
I get it, and like maybe if I was like nice, I'd like it. But
what?
The comedy song, like someone trying to be funny.
What's
and
an example
a
of a comedy song?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, well, the Crazy Frog is like a gimmick, kind of horrible, like Star Trekking across the universe, that kind of thing.
So, like humor in songs, like I don't know.
It's very hard to get it right, isn't it?
And what about
Spinal Tap?
Some people can do it well.
All right.
Fine, I'd still get rid of comedy song. Just because the amount of good stuff is small and the amount of bad stuff is...
Yeah. What a very succinct answer. Let's do one more of these, isn't it?
What the...
What three bands or artists are on your fantasy festival lineup?
Chuck Berry.
It would just be all the dead ones, wouldn't it?
Are you just going to have Chuck Berry on three times?
Maybe Modern Lovers?
Bruce Forsyth.
Yeah.
Rolf Harris.
Wow, what a lineup! And you'd hate that because you want the comedy songs gone. This has gone weird now. So, one more quick proper question about stuff. I genuinely love you guys and I think you're great. So what is the ultimate aim? Where do you guys like see yourself in 10 years' time?
Homeless, maybe.
A few newspapers in my sleeves.
I quite like it right now because we're dry and it's raining. Like that is
10 years.
Yeah, I know. 10 years.
Sit here for 10.
If I'm still dry when it's raining in 10 years, and I'm still dry when
still
it's
getting
raining,
the perks of being in
I'm
here.
Still, just sorting it out. Like it's day to day, isn't it? If I was getting wet right now, then I'd be.
Should
saying,
we all just go and leave him with the mic?
I'm saying. If I was getting wet right now, then I would have a problem. But I'm just sitting here staying dry.
Where are you gonna
I'm
be,
all right.
Where are you going to be in 10 years?
I mean, don't aim too high because then you're going to get let down. Just stay, like. Yeah,
just stay dry. The message from the band today is stay dry, kids.
I'd be a Pezzi 90, a Sicilian guy who started up from the Union side of things and then becomes like some godfather kind of
on the street if I could.
Well, maybe in 10 years when you've had enough of the band, you could bring your paella van here. Stay dry.
I'm taking courses in paella.
Paella. Paella.
Paella. You want to be a chef?
Paella.
I think all of that is almost usable, right? One more out the bag. Dip in, Ricky. FUBAR fanny pack.
Have you got an alter ego?
Do you, Ricky?
An alter ego? Well, on Saturdays I'm Michelle, but that's not an alter ego. That's
no,
just
that's
a life
just
choice.
A day.
You know? No, I'm not a superhero.
If you've got an ego, then don't come and see Tangerines ever.
He's got an ego.
Yeah, that's why he's got
but
a cowboy
he's
hat.
Allowed.
This has become a like weird purgatory room. Guys, thanks for coming in. I'll sort you out a job. Lovely. All right, done. Thanks, guys. It was really great today. I really enjoyed it.
Cheers.
So, cheers. Thanks.
an idolization. Too much excitement and nothing to do. Breathe this uncooked nation. You don't go cruising round that corner. You wanna feel out that heat. Some gestures are likely to express us. This is that lag of being. Here they come, it's the Beckham boys. Get me my self-prescription. Oh, doctor, tell me how. Here they come, it's the Beckham boys. Here comes that Beckham crew. Here they come, it's the Beckham boys. Oh, they're searching for you.
I'd now like to welcome a personal childhood hero of mine, a style guru to me, and the best looking man in the house. It's Mr. Motivator.
You know, you're a good guy. You obviously got a great taste.
I'm gonna go, guys.
Are you going? I fully understand that.
I need to ask you a really serious question. We're at a festival. Obviously, everyone's had a few late nights. Mm-hmm. You are the man.
The man.
That's going to get us motivated for today. Please help us. How do we get through today? Right. What tips and tricks
so
have
you got
for us?
So you're going to want some trade secrets.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is, after years of doing this, I mean, I am 42 going on 64, all right? I'm just an expert at getting people to shake out all the extra rum they've had, the extra naughtiness they got up to.
No. You've been watching us.
No. I mean, what I do is getting everybody just as one voice, making lots of chants and throwing your arms in the air and all that kind of stuff. And I think that tends to actually get their mind off the fact that last night was a exciting, fun, rough night, and now today's an even better day.
Now, I want to ask you a question that you might not want to answer because it's exactly the opposite of what you're all about. But how do you like to relax when you're not motivating everybody?
You know, it is a good question. I mean, the thing is, because I enjoy what I do, it's all about immersing yourself in the subject. That means I really don't have time off from what I do. But I find that exercise and music is a great way of actually relaxing. So, for example, you can choose music that actually makes you feel really kind of relaxed, laid out, or you can choose music that's going to make you jump up and down. I am actually the real deal in terms of, it's just not just when the camera comes
never
on,
doubted
I become
that.
Mr. Motivator. It's all the while. So therefore, anytime you meet me, I'm the same person. And that is because in my life, there is balance. You find that if your emotions are in check, you can control anything in your life, right? I mean, often if your emotions are messed up, you can't eat, you can't sleep, you can't work, you can't do anything. But when you're in balance, it gives you reason to go to sleep late, wake up early, to get on with the chores of the day and doing things that are important to you.
What is your signature move? When you get out there and you're going to G up the crowd, you're going to make them forget all these horrible naughty things they did last night. What's the signature Mr. Motivator thing that you know will get people going?
Well, I tell you what, there's a format that I think everybody should first of all adopt. And the first thing is, the way you leave home in the morning is critical for how the day is going to be. If you wake up late, if you're in a hurry, if you're rushing, all right, there are lots of things that are going to upset you on the way. So the first thing I do, and whether I actually stand in front of the mirror or I actually stand up and say it, I recommend that everyone says that, and that is, today is going to be a great day no matter what.
Okay, Joey,
no
to the camera,
what.
Please.
Today is going to be a great day no matter what.
Today is going to be a great day no matter what.
So that's the starting point. It's a positive affirmation. What you're doing is right. Don't forget, we gravitate to our dominant thoughts. If you get up and go, oh, not another day, that's how you're going to feel all day. So whether you mean it or not, if you say something often enough, it will become a habit. It's a bit like they say, to change a habit, you've got to do 21 times. And if you fold your arms for a moment, I know you've got the mic there, but just fold your arms. That feels very natural, doesn't it? Yeah, okay. And that's your habit. That's the lifestyle you've been used to. Now change it around.
Like a power stance.
Right, and changing it around is difficult, isn't it? Mm. Because you start from where you're used to. That is your lifestyle, to change it around. That's what you've got to do with everything in your life. You've got to learn to change it around. From where, what you're used to something different. And eventually, once you do that often enough, that becomes second nature. You stand in front of me, you look in the mirror, and you go, wow.
Wow.
I look good.
I look good.
I look great.
No, it's
you see,
good.
You spoiled it now, you see. I mean,
that's not what he said.
Hearing impediment is a problem, obviously, with you. But I understand. So you look in the mirror, you go, wow.
Wow.
I look good. Yeah, you do. But you got to mean it.
Wow. I look good.
Wow. I look good.
Well, you don't really, but eventually you might.
Wow, with these sunglasses on, I can make people think that I look good because you can't see my eyes.
And then you've got to do, you know, you said about the signature move?
Yes.
The Mr. Motivator chant.
Here we go.
So you hold that. So you stand with your legs apart like this. You go, huh, huh, in front of the mirror, naked. No, keep not loud.
Okay.
It's a family show. Right. Okay. So you go, huh,
huh.
Then you go, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you go, huh. Then you go in front of the mirror.
I feel like Mick Jagger.
I want to live in your house.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Quick one.
Where do you get the get up from? Because I want to dress more like Mr. Motivator.
Well, I have all my stuff made. I have a little lady in a sweatshop in Jamaica who makes it all for me. And I just choose my fabric and give it to her, and so I have loads of them.
This is legit.
I could give you one, but the thing is, you would only look like Mr. Demotivator. We can't have that.
I had a swimming teacher who looked exactly like you.
Good looking, but handsome,
yeah,
smart,
moustache, bandana,
yeah,
shorts.
Yeah.
But
he
wasn't, no, but I'm not a great swimmer, so he was a fake. There's no way of replicating this, no matter how hard we try.
No, there isn't. I mean, I am actually uniquely different. I mean, when I die and go to heaven, which is the place you won't be going to.
Right. Got it.
No. You'll be floating. You'll be floating in the middle somewhere.
Right? At least I'm not going to hell.
Well, you might end up there. You know what? Have you got a boyfriend? No.
In a way.
What's his name?
It's a woman.
That's fine. What's her name?
Sam.
Okay, so look at Sam.
Sam.
Now look at me.
Sam's not
look
here.
Look at Sam.
Sam's not here.
Look at me. But imagine Sam. Look
obviously,
at me.
Sam, you're dumb.
Look at me.
Sorry.
Look at Sam. Look at me.
I don't know what happened,
who'd
but I'm in
like?
Love with Mr. Motivator.
Ah, there you go, you see.
I don't know what happened,
Sam. Can I
Sam?
Try it?
I'm under his spell.
My girlfriend is there, so that would be quite...
Yeah.
Look at her.
I can't be bothered anymore.
Well, Mr. Motivator, it's been a huge pleasure to have you on FUBAR Radio. Thank you so much. We're going to come and we're going to get super motivated with you. We're going to watch from the front of stage.
Brilliant.
Well,
brilliant.
On the floor.
And let me give a passing shot to all you guys out there.
Please.
Listen, you have only got one life. And if you look after it, it's going to last your lifetime. Don't wait for your ship to come in. You got to swim out to it. Nobody owes you anything. Get up and be who you want to be. You hear me? All right.
I hear you.
Wow.
Mr. Motivator, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm the man. I'm out of here.
He's the man.
Thank you.
FUBAR Radio.
So now, I'm really happy to be joined by top amazing comedian and personal footballing friend of mine, Mark Steele.
Thank you, John. We're all very decent winger, I think.
Don't say that, because my fiancée is sat there and she will not buy into that at all. I drift in and out, like
you
with my career.
Drift in
I just
out.
Kind of
you do drift in
sometimes
and out,
after about 20 minutes, I forget I'm playing. you just come off stage.
Yeah, this is a bit like when they do this to tennis players, that they've just played for sort of 4.5 hours, which is a bit longer than what I've just done, and then
didn't feel like it, mate.
No,
I'm joking.
And then they have to go and do an interview, and they're obviously thinking, I just want to go and cry, I've just lost to Djokovic again or whatever, and instead they have to sort of stand there and go, yeah, he's a very good player or whatever,
but be really out of breath.
Yeah. Well, they aren't, are they? But delightful. It's lovely to be here with people in this delightful setting.
Yeah. Tonight/this afternoon, what you just did, was you bedding in some new stuff at Edinburgh Show?
A little bit of it is. Because I've got this. I'm doing some stuff about the election, which was. I just found it funny, apart from anything else. Sort of amazing thing where she just got, oh, let's have the election. It's going to be wonderful. See how many we've got, we've won by millions. No one's going to vote for him. He's in the IRA. He doesn't sing the national anthem. He puts his trousers on back to front. And then it all went wrong. That's just funny, isn't it?
And great. But what made you decide to do like a show based on that for Edinburgh? Was it just because it's such a hot topic, or like, and there's so much material in it, don't get me wrong, but like, also, it's really time specific, isn't it, as well? So,
well, I think you know the answer to that, which is just like, you panic when you've got to do a show. When you do stand up and you think, oh, I'll write some new stuff in 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever. And then if you've got, like with the Edinburgh Festival, oh God, I've got to have a whole new thing. What am I going to write? What am I going to do anything about? And just the panic, like anything else. It's like anything else. It's like the students who go, oh, I've got to hand in a 10,000 word essay by tomorrow morning. And you go, bloody hell, that's a bit rough. When did they give you that to do 2 years ago in August? And that's why you get a load of comments that go, oh, I know, I had a funny experience this year where I didn't like worms, and then I realised I didn't mind them so much. I'll turn that into an hour and stretch that out.
That is kind of a little example of what I wanted to come on to, right? But you actually, in a way, quite surreal with it, because, like, for example, that bit that you was doing earlier on about Jeremy Corbyn and all the examples then really tend to go into quite a sort of abstract area.
And what I wanted to ask you about was,
like, do you just sit there and go, right, just write as many as you can, and do you try them out, or do you just kind of improvise that a bit? How does that work?
Well, the bit, I'm trying to think, I have to remember them now. So the bit is about sort of all the mad things that they claim Jeremy Corbyn, when the newspapers try to slag off Jeremy Corbyn. So I'm trying to think of, the headlines will be, now Corbyn Laden's going to force your pets to be Muslim. Corbyn to introduce women-only gravity, men will be forced to float. Corbyn to abolish the Navy and replace it with a salad. And Corbyn to abolish Dame Vera Lynn's pension unless she agrees to be a lesbian. I've got that.
Exactly
right. It's exactly, you sort of think, well, I don't know. And then you sort of, sometimes you think of them, and I think that's funny. And it just, you know what it's like, that you sometimes you'll go, there'll be a joke where you go, such and such, you know, like you're more likely to be a giraffe in the room. Nothing. Change it to a hippo and a big laugh.
Have you been at one of my gigs?
Yeah, I'm really glad you picked up on that, because it is quite surreal. And you've got to pick the right sort of thing sometimes. And it's just, it's brilliant, because it's just unknowable. Well, the brilliant thing, isn't it, with stand-up, is that you go out in front of there with people, and sometimes you'll have a joke that you think, oh, I really like that.
And they hate it,
and it never gets a laugh, and you try it this way, that way. And once you've tried it four times, and you try it, do it a different look, a different accent, and then you have to go, it's just no good. I just have to bow to the con. But a sort of writer won't have that. That'll stay in, won't it? They'll never know.
Yeah.
That as people are reading this particular bit, everyone's going, that's a bit shit, that paragraph.
Yeah.
They never know that, you know, or a... But with stand-up, it's just immediate. And the horror of the stand-up, of having a moment where everyone's thinking, no, I didn't like that.
It's like the gift and the curse. It's also the other way is the same. Like, the adulation is also immediate and brilliant. Obviously, it's a music festival, right?
Yeah.
What's your cup of tea? What do you like music-wise?
I think lots of comics are obsessed with sport more than the general population. Mm. Don't you think?
Yeah.
And with music, I think, like, loads of comics, far more than in the normal population. I don't quite know what the
reason. I think just comics are obsessive generally. Maybe. About anything.
But comics will have thousands of records and stuff, and they'll know all obscure bands and stuff like that. So I'm one of them a bit, really. I'm having a bit of a Nick Cave thing at the moment, and then Oh, no, it's Katie Tunstall's on here.
Yeah, you like her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that one about the ashes.
Did she do...
It's really brutal. Because some of it's really... The nicer and sweeter the song is, the more brutal the lyrics are with
Did
her.
She do the one, Suddenly I See? That was her big hit, right? Is that her? Yeah. Now, my old man...
Yeah.
...is from a similar part of the world to us, thought genuinely that the lyrics to that were So Leon C.
Brilliant.
So he would walk around going, So Leon C.
But I don't know, I think anything that sounds like it's meant, you know, I don't know, anything. I like the hip hop and the classical and, you know, anything really other than the stuff. Particularly keen on Bananarama.
Yeah, we've had that already, haven't we? Me and you had a little chat about that just now. That's just to please producer Natalie. All the stuff that you was doing in there gave me a really good idea for something that we could do on the station that would benefit you. I want to see if you're up for it.
I'll go on.
So feel free to kill it dead and kill all the momentum.
No.
But
whatever it is,
I think, right, we should start a campaign for you to do the alternative Queen's speech on Channel 4 this Christmas.
Oh, all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So on FUBAR, we're on social media, we're going to start a campaign to get you to
do
that.
Do I have to do it as the Queen?
No, you do it as yourself, but then you can do your little impression of the Queen and all that.
Oh,
and then,
yeah. Well,
all you basically do is that set.
Yeah.
And then you've
done it. Annoy her. Do you think she'd watch it?
No, I don't think she'd watch it.
She would.
It's not about her, it's about the others.
Yeah, but she would watch it.
Would she?
There's no point in watching me. She said, why do I want to watch myself? I know what I fucking said. All right, I'm up for
that. We'll start
Channel 4, I'm up for that.
Just retweet it when we send it to you. Right? So, let's quickly just plug your Edinburgh show and then ice bath time.
So, I'll be on somewhere or other at about 9:30 or
perfect.
Something. In the Assembly.
Probably sold out,
in the Assembly something. That's a big gothic-looking place with lots of statues of very unpleasant-looking 17th-century Presbyterians that if they'd heard known that everyone was laughing, they would have had you immediately dissected and fed to goats.
Saying you say not surreal. One quick thing. There's a swimming pool here.
Oh.
What's your best pair of swimming trunks that you currently own?
It's actually the same sort of shorts that I played football in.
Yeah, that says a lot, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Oh, God, I wish I had a more entertaining... Oh, you know, I've got these sort of leopard skin things or something, but no.
I've got some great jellyfish ones currently, but, you know. Mark, so much fun having you on. And good luck in Edinburgh, and I'll see you in the bar up there and
yeah,
in the ice bath immediately.
Yeah, what time are you on?
Oh, it doesn't matter. 6 o'clock.
Okay.
The counting house. It's free to get in, not to get out. Bye.
So if I see her and she's stationary, I pull out the stationary. She'll be like, where's the nearest station to me? And she'll be blowing like, I hope the train is waiting for me. And I'll be on the platform like, oh, what you saying to me? The same thing you say in your tweets is what you say in the streets. No, man, it was bad, Naz. Come on, man, I'm a fan, Naz. What to granddad? Look, I got words on the road and repeat. I still bang that. I want to do them. Yeah, like, just chat, miss, I want to do them. If you're gonna talk the talk, yeah, for what the walk, and it's your fashion, yeah, for what do them. I want to them, came in with your crew, and I was scared of not one of them. Rolled a couple suits, and you was talking on none of them. Asking for my twos, from my two, she's one of them. Them bitches, they get me nervous. What the fuck is your purpose? And I ain't stopping for no niggas like a bus at a service. And bitches say they going in, but they ain't touching the surface. And bitches say they going in, but they just ain't a lie that. Watch, I pull the dishes, they still ain't lie that. Got a bag of weed, but mine is probably lie that. Hey, you going fucking ham, please, I lie that. Well, that's the only way I know. With your man night in Essex, that's the only way to go. We were riding the whip, driving to my bit. He put his bit inside my bit, and now I'm coming on the go. Whoa. The champ is here. I need a fucking drink when the champ is here. Bad bitch and VIP, no cameras near. Every stage I leave my mark like Nads was here. What? Nads was here. And I might blow a little dank into the atmosphere. What? Nads was here. I'm sick and tired of saving hoes, but have no fear. Cause what? Nads was here. Cause what? Nads was here. Cause what? Nads was here. Cause what? Your mum was here.
FUBAR Radio.
You're joining us live backstage. We're at Stand and Calling with the founder, Alex Trenchard. How's it going?
Harriet, it's going really well. Thank
you. It's lovely to see you again.
Well, it's great to see you again. What's it been, 3 months?
I know, right? But we see each other quite a lot. So, like, we've got a bit of a bromance, except I'm a girl. But, like, a girl-boy bromance going on. And Tom's
just
here, too.
Tell
me, how's the festival going for you? Having a good time?
I think it's been great. It started on Thursday, and for the first time we put acts on Thursday, which has meant that the festival's felt like half the week. So for me, that's been great, because normally it's over in the blink of an eyelid, but actually, I started being able to relax on Saturday, apart from the rain on Saturday night, which is a bit, but I tell you, I bet you can't find any other festival site where it rains all night and that you can walk around the next day like this.
See, other festivals have been cancelled because they can't handle the rain, and you have smashed through the rain like it's nothing.
Like it is nothing. It's those amazing Hertfordshire chalky soils that just sucks up the water.
So who have you been watching? Is there anyone you've really loved seeing?
Well, for me, Orbital on, like, Friday night.
And we had a lovely chat with Orbital, didn't we?
We did. They're good guys.
They also did a secret set in the woods afterwards, which was pretty incredible. Well, Phil Hartnell did a secret set. And then we end up parting there with a little bit of a lock-in afterwards, which was great.
Where was our invite?
Soz.
Sunday, you got more time to relax today and enjoy people?
I'm beginning to relax now, actually, yes.
I was going to say, because I saw you, I've seen you a couple of times across the weekend, and you've looked fairly chilled. And is that just a mask, or have you actually had quite a chilled time?
I'm not very good at hiding my emotions. But, yeah, I mean, I've been doing this for 12 years now, and I've got such, you know, amazing team, and it's been good.
Do you feel like this has been the biggest Stand and Calling yet?
Definitely. I mean, I think at peak yesterday we had about 14,000 on site, which was well up on last year. But also for me, you know, what's important is like all types of people. I like what I'm trying to create is an event that lots of, you know, people with families, people without families, people live in, you know, London, metropolitan people, people live around here, all come together and just kind of rub shoulders. It's something a bit different.
I think as well, because I've seen a lot of bands and acts that I normally wouldn't go and see, which has always been good. So I'm definitely going to go away and like Google these people and listen to them. Is that like something you're already like keen on doing, mixing all the genres up? For this,
yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, I booked Horrible Histories. I only booked Horrible Histories because my son said that's what he wanted to see. And I was so proud when he introduced them on Saturday morning, which is really cool. Did a little mic drop, arrow in the eye, which is pretty cool. But it's also, you know, I booked Orbital because that was my first Glastonbury experience. And I'd never forget with Orbital in like late 90s. That's how old I am. But then also, you know, wouldn't necessarily go and buy a Clean Bandit ticket. But then it was also amazing seeing all the kids and all the families watching Clean Bandit. I think we had about 8,000 people in front of them. As well as that, Chuck 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 last night, incredible. And then we had Idris Elba. I thought he was an actor. No, he's a DJ.
And are you excited tonight? Obviously, Grace Jones is taking the main stage. Are you looking forward to that?
I really am. But it's not just Grace Jones. I mean, it's Grace Jones. We just had Gary Newman. Then now it's Editors. Then it's Grace Jones. I don't think you'd see that kind of lineup at any other media small festival. It's really exciting. And then Faithless, Sister Bliss from Faithless is doing a DJ set.
Also, just touching on what you just said, it is really like we felt this weekend a very sort of friendly family festival in terms of not just with people bringing families, but in terms of the way people treat each other. Everyone's sort of happy. There's no, so it's just a really happy vibe. Is that, are you proud to have created a festival with that kind of vibe?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's about. And definitely during the day as well. And then about 9, 10 o'clock, the sun comes down and then things sort of change. And then there's a bit of an edge and we have a bit of a party. And then the next day we get up and the kids running around, so we have to behave. And it's like, there's a nice balance from one to the other.
Yeah, it's like Hunger Games after 10 p.m. It's quite scary. Well, we've had a fantastic time. So thank you so much for having FUBAR Radio at Stand and Calling. Maybe. Hopefully we'll be back next year.
I hope so.
And we'll be having a lot of fun. But is there any closing words you'd like to say about the festival and how excited you are for this year?
There's two words. Those words are Grace Jones.
Yes! Thank you so much. We'll see you next year. Stand and Calling, FUBAR Radio, we're out.
Lay back, not laying back.